who else we got?
Now, filling in for Jerry Springer, Mark Maron on the radio.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, and of course, you lurking conservatives, you sulking conservatives, you conservatives that feel that you just might have had your day. Good morning to you as well. Jim Earle is with me. How are you, Jim?
Good morning, Mark.
All right, Jim.
It's a pleasure being here this morning.
That's great, Jim.
Filling in for the chair.
You're acting chipper, Jim. No, don't make fun of radio voice.
No, I'm not making fun. Really, I'm drunk.
All right.
It's early in the morning. I have not gone to sleep yet. I've been all night drunk.
You've been up all night partying, Jim?
Oh, man.
You getting ready for tomorrow, are you?
The election's never going to happen.
How do you figure? I mean, it's looking to me, I tell you, I mean, I don't want to count my chickens, and certainly I know there's a lot of Democrats around. We're all excited, jumping up and down, but I still got the creeps. I tell you, I'm going to have the creeps until this thing is over, and there's no reason not to have the creeps because a lot of things can still go wrong. Like, they can scare a lot of people. Apparently, the reach out, the Republican reach out, the thing they're relying on, which
Republican
is...
The
Republican reach around, which we've all been kind of getting for the last few years. But the thing that people are always afraid of is that these guys are going to get that mobilizing the voter thing going. They're going to do those cold calls. They got machines calling people, scaring people, saying, do you want this world to be run by abortionists and people that are going to legalize sodomy everywhere and actually enforce it in your home? They are going, if you let the Democrats win, they are going to have somebody come over and sodomize you weekly. They're calling people, these machines, telling them that, saying if that's something you're afraid of, you better get out and vote tomorrow. But I don't think it's going to do it. I think after a certain point, Americans start to smell a rat. They start to trust their gut. It takes a long time for them to get to their gut. But there is no denying that despite whatever lack of vision some independents or Republican swing voters might have, that this administration and this Congress and this Senate, even for the most part, has completely mismanaged this country on many levels. And after a certain point, people are like, you know, this stinks, and they can smell it.
So you think the right thing is going to happen sooner or later?
I have to believe in democracy at some point.
You know, that's what Winston Churchill once said about America, that America always ends up doing the right thing after doing all the wrong things first.
Well, I think the system is designed for that. The system is designed to purge itself. And the big fear, of course, is always about now in the last 6 years about these election machines and about gerrymandering and about redistricting and about the many different ways that the ruling power, the ruling party can make it difficult for people to vote or actually steal votes. We're going to talk to Brad Friedman a little later in the show from watch that mic, Jim. Just try not to nod off on the mic. I understand you've been drunk all night, but try not to just fall into the microphone.
Between the meth and the drunk.
Oh, let's talk about that guy in a second. But as I said, from bradblog.com, if you want to go to Bradblog and check out where he's at, this guy, Brad Friedman, is all over the place. He is a very prolific and aggravated and ambitious voting machine activist.
I remember him.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of energy, this guy.
Yeah, I saw him the other night. We did an event with the Young Turks over at a club down on Hollywood Boulevard, a sort of pre-festivity celebration of the fact that Democrats might actually take back the House.
Wow.
And it's starting to look like the Senate as well. I'm optimistic about that. If you know people in Tennessee, tell them to go out there and vote for Ford. Tell them to go out there and do what they have to do. This is the weird thing about Democrats, is the weird thing about where I'm at. It's like, we are actually at a point now. Well, I know that we got a pretty good machine in place, and it seems that they're doing a good job mobilizing voters, but you still got to call your friends if you could, because you never know. In this day and age, two or three votes could make the difference. Brad Friedman's going to be here later to scare the hell out of us and make us feel, as Jim does most of the time, that nothing is right, there's no justice, and there's no way we can get the country back, and democracy is corrupt and always will be corrupt. And until we green the entire country and socialize things properly, where everybody gets health care and cars are run on goodness, cars are run on good feelings, cars are run on hope, that this country will be a disaster. Am I right?
I like that. That's a good slogan.
Cars are run on hope. All you got to do is get in and say, it's going to be a good day.
That sounds like an electric car or a steam car to me.
And later in the show, I've not talked to this guy in a while. He's been sort of going behind my back and calling Sam Cedar. Lawton Smalls, Planet Bush Bureau Chief. Lawton Smalls will be on the phone. Borzu Daragahi, if all goes well, L.A. Times' Baghdad Bureau Chief, will call us in the second hour today to tell us exactly what is going on the ground in Iraq post the sentencing of Saddam Hussein, sentenced to death because of crimes of humanity, because of what he did as a reprisal to almost being assassinated and basically engaging in genocide in Iraq. He will hang. But apparently, there's a fairly prolonged appeals process that can go on in Iraq, and this thing could still drag on for a long time.
Plus, they have a big shortage of rope.
Do they? Is there a rope? Is there a rope shortage here?
Rope shortage there, so it may take a while. You know, things, we have not been good suppliers of basic needs there.
Yeah, not even for our troops. I mean, I've just been sitting here reading a report about how. You have Bush out there on the stump, you know, talking about how we need to support our troops. Yet a lot of these guys are working with equipment that is still, you know, it's worn out. It's broken. It's about 90% operational. The military is calling for Rumsfeld's resignation, basically saying that this guy's strategy has gotten this, into all this trouble. And there's a Pentagon report out last week that says Iraq is drifting towards chaos. I mean, these are the real issues that Americans are caring about during this election, except in Missouri. Here's what's going on the election front. But do you want to talk about Ted Haggard first? You must have been thrilled that that this happened to Ted Haggard.
You know, I'm kind of sorry about it because he was, you know, when you read further about Ted Haggard, you discover that he's kind of like one of the more reasonable guys in that area. He's
in terms kind of environmental issues?
Yeah, pro-environmentalism. And mm-hmm. He's kind of, you know, in relatively speaking, moderate on gay rights in that area.
Well, now it turns out he's very moderate.
Yeah.
He's unintentionally very moderate because he's been. Why can't. I got a question.
Maybe he was just going undercover.
You think?
Yeah, going undercover.
Doing some investigating. He didn't use that excuse. He decided to come out and tell the truth. But I do have a question about this, because this is something I've never been quite clear on. If you want to answer me at 877-34-JERRY, is that, am I understanding correctly that if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, that it doesn't matter really what you do as long as at the last second, at the last possible second, you confess to your sins, you will be let into heaven?
That's Catholicism, is it not?
I'm just wondering in terms of born-again Christianity, in terms of any of it. I am not a well-researched guy when it comes to this stuff, but I have known incredibly lapsed Christians who are still believers that literally are saying, look, I can do whatever the hell I want right up until the end, and hopefully, you know, I will have that moment before my last gasp to say, please let me in, and I will be let in if I give myself to Jesus at that moment.
Well, that's baloney. I mean, the Bible is contradicts that entirely.
It does?
That's just something that was invented by, Catholicism, like 700 or 800 years after the death of Jesus to make money in tithes. People would pay.
Pay to get to get into heaven?
Yeah.
But I just wonder if that still holds now. And this is a great example of why the tide is turning in this country in terms of believing in the administration, because this is a guy that was aligned with this administration. Ted Haggard is a guy that had a lot of power. He met with the president. He was the head of one of the biggest evangelical organizations in this country, one of the biggest evangelical institutions in this country. His church in Colorado is huge. It is a model of the super church community. And this guy, why couldn't he have told the truth from the beginning? Because then he wouldn't have honored the repression necessary to make people believe. Why couldn't he have just said, look, I love my wife, I love Christ, and I love to do crank and sodomy with men for hours on end, occasionally. Just occasionally. Why couldn't he have said that initially and been forgiven? Why does it have to take this kind of train wreck for these guys to be honest? Well, and you see, this is the amazing thing about this country. If you have that strange mixture of charisma and self-hatred, there is no telling how much money you can make and how many people you can mislead into believing in you. And I really wonder, I don't understand why these people are so unconditional with their forgiveness when it comes to somebody like this. I mean, obviously this congregation is going to pay for this. Obviously they're going to lose a few people. And obviously, you know, people are going to be disappointed. But what I don't understand is how come they are so quick to forgive this type of behavior and still this need everybody to think like them. Why can't they negotiate with liberals? Why can't they negotiate with people that don't have the same beliefs that they do? And they're so quick to forgive a guy that's completely hypocritical and has done some pretty morbid. It's not morbid, but look, let me tell you something. I have nothing against the gay lifestyle, but when you start talking about crystal meth and sex and what goes on in some of the more extreme gay party scenes, I mean, crank is a real problem. And a lot of these guys are, you know, they're taking Viagra, they're doing crank, and they're having sex for days on end. And this is not healthy. It's just not healthy on a lot of levels, not because of a gay thing, just in general. Just, you can be straight and right. Be all cranked up and
having
sex. Shaping
alone.
Hey, exactly.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, the amount, that is absolutely true. Now, let's talk about the elections in just a second, but I just wanted to gloat in that. Also with Bush, too. Why can't he just be honest? At this point in time, he's out there on the stump right now talking about something that he would never have admitted a few years ago, and he denied it. They all denied it. We'll talk about that in a second. You're listening to Springer on the radio. I'm Mark Maron. Give me a call and answer that question about Christianity, if you could, 877-34-JERRY. We'll be back in a second.
We promise Jerry won't steal your comments and ideas from your emails.
Much.
Jerry at SpringerOnTheRadio.com.
This is Saddam Hussein. Okay, kill me with rope hanging neck from. Take life me, the one great of Iraq president. Afraid I not, for when door of trap open, play I sound loud of Springer Jerry on radio.
Jerry Springer.
Dancing with the stars.
And talking with you on the radio at 877-345-3779. 877-34-JERRY.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
All right, 21 past the hour, Mark Maron here on Springer on the Radio, subbing for Jerry with Jim Earl, my buddy, reaching out to you, the general public, to answer a question about being saved, that the congregation, Ted Haggard's congregation, are willing to forgive him. He is trying to be honest as he can, without giving details, that he's a crank monkey, and he's also a guy who likes to occasionally have homosexual sex with the guy he gets crank from. He's lost his job. His congregation, for the most part, seems to be forgiving him. He's going to be out a few bucks, and it's going to be a long slog back to wherever he came from. But they seem to think that this honesty is the best thing that can happen. But what my question was, because I just don't know about the details of how being saved or being led into heaven works, that it seems to me that if you do anything, as bad as it can be, it doesn't even matter, that at the last minute, if you claim that you have taken Jesus into your heart, you should be allowed into heaven. Anne in Royal Oak, Michigan, is that true?
I'll tell you how I understand that.
Okay.
That is, to me, that is for people who have never professed to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That is for somebody who, at the last minute,
okay, I see.
See the light. Before that, you know better, you do better.
Okay, so I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So that means, okay, so if you've already been living the Christian life, you have no real excuse. And,
absolutely not. You can't serve two masters. You know, you can't serve the devil and God. You got to make a choice.
Now,
because
in some,
it says, forgive sin and go and sin no more.
So this guy is, in terms of Christian leader, certainly, but just in terms of being a good Christian, is just he's aligned himself with the wrong master.
He has, and he has to turn his life around.
He has to, but he's going to have to do that by himself. It
by
seems.
Yes, he is. He can't do it with somebody else. He has to be responsible for what he does. You know, the Christian motto, and I don't hear this much from them anymore, but supposedly Jesus said, love one another even as I have loved you. Doesn't say love only people like you. Says love one another. That's everybody.
I don't hear that much anymore. And I think we should hear more of that. Thank you, Ann. Thank you for your call. That's exactly right. If you're going to look at, and I know, Jim, that you have points of contention with the teachings of Christ, as you should.
Yes.
But the idea that you have to admit that the idea, one of the things we're seeing in this election, or in the polls at least, is that maybe people are a little fed up with this extreme bipartisan behavior. Maybe what makes America great is that we are able to take care of one another. We do care about other people. Maybe some of that can come back if the middle class only realizes that they don't really exist anymore and that they are only a credit card away from being poor. I think that's one of the things we lose in this conversation. I think it's one of the things that certainly evangelicals and Christian organizations lose, is that because of the way that the Republicans have created legislation over the last 6 years and even longer, that we are all kind of screwed. Everybody in this country, 40 million people or so, don't have health insurance. And most people in this country are just one illness or one divorce or one lost job away from being broke. And I don't understand what it's going to take people to realize that Republican policy is really an adapt-or-die situation. What the hell happens to those people?
Well, that's another kind of sad thing about Hagerty, too. He was an advocate for the poor, more so than other evangelicals were. And you know, that's another thing that's going to be taken away, even though I don't like taking advantage of people who are poor to shove religion down their throats. I think that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was a more moderate in that area as well, unless somebody out there knows different. But
the way that the Hagerty event will be absorbed by the Christian community will be an example of what they're willing to forgive him for. And his teachings or what he believes in, if that type of movement is happening in Christianity, as you said, some of the environmental stuff is starting to come back around. But I just hope, in the sense of the way democracy works, that people start to realize that Republican legislation, as you go into the election tomorrow, you realize that Republican legislation really puts a lot of people into a position to where if they get sick or they go broke, that they got nowhere to go at all. And this is people like you or me. This is people that believe that they're middle class, that believe that they're going to have a fair shot. I swear to God, these new economy numbers that they're touting on the road, a lot of these Republicans, they're stilted. They don't account for the millions of people that fall off the unemployment rolls. They don't – whatever new jobs come, whatever the unemployment numbers are, they do not account for the number of people that have given up. And I think hopefully those people are listening and those people are going to vote, because I think despite whatever lack of vision you think the Democrats have – they will be better than these guys, and they will start to re-legislate, to roll back some of the crap that these guys have put into place to protect corporations and bankrupt America. I believe that we can only do better by voting these bastards out. Do you feel that, Jim?
I agree. They're bastards in and of themselves as well, but to a much less degree.
And also, here's a couple of pointers. I'll give you more as the morning goes on. But tomorrow, on Election Day, get out there and vote as early as you can. You know, tell your boss, look, you got to do it. And if you encounter problems, that means you'll have a little more time to sort them out and be able to help other people while you're there. And also, do not forget to bring your ID. You don't need it everywhere, but have your ID. Bring your cell phone. If you have problems at the voting booth or at the polling place, I'll give you some numbers in a few to tell you, you know, where to call and how to call it and how to report problems. And, you know, if you have to, don't be afraid to ask for a paper ballot. If you smell something fishy, some places don't have them, but don't be afraid to ask for them. Do whatever you got to do to get that vote in there, because there's going to be obstacles. And you know what? Both parties are dispatching legal teams. It's unbelievable. Like, thousands of lawyers are being spread throughout the country by both parties to protect the integrity of this election, at least on the Democratic side. All right, so we can have Lawton Smalls in a minute. Stay with us. We've got a lot of great show coming up. I'm Mark Maron in for Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Today, you can join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
My fellow Americans, please do not think that my administration's recent difficulties are affecting any of us conversely. We still look forward to doing the hard work that's ahead of us. As they say, when the going gets tough, the quitters never change horses in the goalposts of life. Sure, I feel a little down sometimes, but I'm gonna get through this. You'll see. I guess I feel kind of gloomy, with no more friends to appoint. Now the people I trusted are facing time in the joint. I'm sinking down in America. I'm blowing up in Iraq. Something good better happen, or this could all drive me back. Right back to pina coladas, and back to feeling no pain. I ain't saying I'll do it, I'm just trying to stay sane. I gotta conquer the temptation to have a whiskey or beer. I must lead our great nation and never go nuclear. Nuclear. Hey, I almost said it right that time. Nuclear. Nuclear. Hey, maybe things are getting better. Staying sober has turned me into a much stronger man. So maybe now I can handle myself like Keith Richards can. I need a suture, my future, 'cause everything's going wrong. Gotta lower the pressure, or I might go buy a bong. Or maybe pina coladas. No, that would make me a wreck. Gotta stay on the wagon and keep my urges in check. But Laura, she ain't really helping with release from the strain. Let's just say that I ain't been master of my domain. Despite everything, I stand strong with faith in my creator and have refused to accept his resignation. He's doing a heck of a job. Hey, where's the ice around here?
Jerry Springer on the radio.
All right, 35 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Jim Earl. It's Springer on the radio. We're hanging out. The battles to watch, folks, are Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia. In Missouri, you got Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent. It looks like Claire McCaskill, the Democrat, is edging ahead in most of the polls. In Virginia, you've got Jim Webb and George Allen. I cannot believe that this is even a competition with that idiot George Allen. But it's really tight. I mean, some polls got it neck and neck. Some have him a point ahead, a point or two ahead. Just mind-blowing. In Tennessee, we really need the help down in Tennessee. Harold Ford, just a point or two behind in most of the polls, except for one, which I'm just not going to believe. But there are two of the polls. So these are where it's really going down. We need two of those to take the Senate. I think the House is in the bag. But let's talk to our guest. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that listeners know what's going on in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is our very own Planet Bush Bureau Chief, Lawton Smalls. Hello, Lawton.
Hello, Mr. Maron.
Mr. Maron? Lawton, it's me. It's Mark. Lawton?
Yes. Thank you for that information.
So what are you mad at me?
Well, given that certain parties have refused to speak to me or communicate with me in any way for the past 4 months, certain previous familiarities must be reconsidered. Total silence from a person I considered to be a friend at one time. Clearly, I was misinformed. Obviously, there needs to be a redrawing of certain boundaries.
You were stalking me, Lawton. You were sleeping outside my house in L.A. You were crying and singing and scaring my cats. I mean, come on, man. I had to redraw some boundaries, too, you know.
Yeah, evidently. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. All right, so now you're just going to dangle me now? I'm on the air here. All right? I mean, you're such a baby. You know, I don't know why I deal with you at all. You know what? All right, that's it. Fine. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
You liberals really don't have a sense of humor.
All right.
Oh, you should have seen your best. You were stalking me. God's got a whoopee cushion, and you just sat on it, droopy puss.
Oh.
He who smelt it down.
Yeah, okay, all right, great. Yeah, you got me, I guess. You know, but I'll tell you one thing. You're still an infant, my friend. You know that, right?
Oh, you keep me young, Mark. You were stalking me.
All right. Keep laughing, buddy. All right, keep it. Yeah, the elections are tomorrow. That should be really funny, shouldn't
you
it?
You Democrats are running the dirtiest campaign in the history of the world, and we are not going to let you steal it. No, sir. This aggression will not stand. It's just like Gandalf said to the Balrog in Lord of the Rings. You shall not pass.
Yeah. That's right. They're not going well over at GOP headquarters, are they, there, Lund?
Hey, don't worry about us, Trotsky. Uh-huh. We're fine even with all the caca you've been shoveling at us.
We've been shoveling at you? Like what?
Like that socialist Michael J. Fox deal. Evil ad smearing good old Jim Talent in Missouri. Rush is exactly right about that big phony Marty McFly. I wish somebody would send him back to the future. Hello, McFly.
Lawton. Fox has, Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's, which gives him tremors.
Oh, please.
Talent has opposed stem cell research that could help people with Parkinson's and all kinds of other diseases. So what's so phony about that?
Hey, wake up, Mr. Thespian Hollywood. Fox is an actor. He is acting. Look at his initials. MJS. You know what that stands for? Michael's just faking.
So
that's for.
Right, wait, so this is what you're running on? Michael J. Fox? Wow.
And that losercrat John Kerry insulting the intelligence of our troops, who are, as our president so eloquently put it, plenty smart. Plenty smart. It just boils my butt when someone who's never even seen one day of military service like Jacques Kerry dares to smear a decorated combat hero like President George W. two-terms mandate Bush. Hey, go back to your windsurfing in France, cut-and-runner, lip-flopper. We should stick him in Iraq, smear him with peanut butter, and wait for the scorpions to come. Goodbye, Johnny.
I have never heard you sound more desperate.
You are
flop-sweating all over the place.
Can you imagine a Democrat Congress? The first day that Wicca priestess Nancy Pelosi would open a chain of her federally funded drive-through on-demand abortion huts. You guys would take God off our money. It would say, "In George Soros, we trust." You'd round all of us up, send us to Gay Agenda Camp. Hey, here's a tutu and a Freddie Mercury album, Smalls. Start your prancing. Go!
Wow. It's like you've been reading our playbook, Lawton.
Yeah, okay, Smarty. And worst of all, it'll just be like what President George W. two-terms mandate Bush says. If the Democrats take the House, quote, "the terrorists win and America loses."
What is that? What do you mean? What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
I mean, what the terrorists win and America loses. What does that even mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Wait, just what I said. What does it mean? Are we in some kind of football game? Is somebody keeping score? I honestly don't get it. Help me out here, Lawton. Tell me what that means.
All right. Obviously, Mark. It means if the Democrats win, and they won't, and then the terrorists would also win because because the Republicans who will win that means that didn't it means America would lose. We're gonna lose. We're so screwed.
Yeah.
It's over, man. What kind of slogan is that? It means nothing. We're swallowed down the paper. We're not Republicans. We're Republicans.
All right, Lawton, hang on. Just hang on. I'm serious, Lawton. You got to hang on. We got to take a break real quick. We're going to come back in a second with Lawton and talk this through. Hang on. We'll be back in a second.
The times, they're still a changing. Springer on the radio. Your opinion expressed when calling Jerry at 877-345-3779 will be kept confidential.
All our calls are being monitored. Got that?
Oh, never mind. Jerry Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
We 46 past the hour. Mark Maron in for Springer. I'm here with Jim Merle. We're on the phone with Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls, who is still crying, still crying. He's had a breakdown. He's realized that the Republicans are lost. So just take it easy, buddy. You're all right?
Yeah.
You're not really used to reality, are you, Lawton?
No, not at all. I hate it. Mark, forgive me. Forgive us.
Okay.
Please.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you just, you know, it doesn't look good for you guys, but you're gonna have to pull it together, Lawton. All right. Oh boy.
You know, the Democrats will put LSD in our water supply. Prepare for a bad trip, America. Purple snakes and screaming daisies.
All right, okay. All right, goodbye, Lawton.
Hey, deal with it. Stay the course, America. Stay the course.
All right, there you go. Lawton Smalls. Haven't heard from him in a while. Had to put him on hold. But you know what's amazing about Lawton?
Yeah, what?
He was still crying when we came back, Jim. Still crying.
Well, he commits.
Look, as I said, we are going to, we're going to continue to sort of monitor these three elections that are of primary importance, certainly for the Senate. I mean, the House, I mean, most of the polls are looking at 239 Democrats, 196 Republicans. So not only are we going to get the 15 we needed, but we're going to get much more. And I want to be confident in that. Can I be confident in the House at least? But the Senate, I'm very excited about. If we got both of them, man. How
could we not? I don't understand why there's even any doubt at this point. I mean, don't people, read the news or look at the TV? What the hell is wrong with
people? They listen to push calling. They listen to people. Bill Clinton called me twice in the last 2 days. Let's get into that in a second. Let's take another break so we can get Mort Mortensen in here with the obituaries. It's 48 past the hour. We'll be back in a second.
Jerry Springer
is doing a fine job
on the radio.
This is Saddam Hussein. Okay. Kill me with rope hanging neck from. Take life me, the one great of Iraq president. Afraid I not, for when door of trap open, play I sound loud of Springer Jerry on radio.
Hey, Jerry's talking to you. You can talk back by calling 877-345-3779. That's 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
All right, 52 past the hour. Mark Maron in for Jerry Springer. I'm here with Jim Merle, who just left the room mysteriously. And now, folks, to help us reflect in our times of sorrow and look back on the lives of the recently departed, we present grief correspondent Mort Mortensen with our weekly remembrance.
Oh,
it's going to be a bad one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Out of sorrow.
Yes, sadness.
We begin this morning with Jack Scholl, foot care pioneer.
Mm.
Jack Scholl, head of the pioneering foot care company, Dr. Scholl's, finally got the boot last week after stubbing his big toe on a little thing called death.
Oh, yeah.
Horrified loved ones discovered Scholl's body at his Illinois home, where according to the coroner, it had been gelling for the 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
Yeah. Scholl's late uncle began the legendary business back in 1904, Mark,
mm-hmm.
in what would become a lifelong quest to keep people from looking down on feet.
Mm. All right.
As producer of the world's finest comfort footwear, Scholl always prided himself with being surrounded by plenty of high-priced hoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I hear you.
Price hose.
Hose, yeah, sure.
Yeah, what are you thinking about?
Nothing. I'm just thinking about hose.
Right. Relatives say Scholl requested he be shoehorned into a casket two sizes too small for his body.
Of course. That makes complete sense.
Mark.
Yeah.
There are many victims of the terror attacks on New York, but none so tragic as several important Americans whose deaths weren't noticed because they occurred too close in time. They were overshadowed by 9/11 itself. This is one of them.
Okay.
Frank Gasparo, Lincoln Penny designer. Frank Gasparo, former chief engraver at the U.S. Mint and designer of the tail side of the Lincoln Penny, passed away October 3rd, 2001. The 92-year-old apparently drowned after a young couple threw him into a wishing well.
Did you go all the way back there to find that bit?
Just shut up.
Yeah.
News of his death came as a shock to loved ones who believed he was in good but worn condition. Yeah, more coming after this one. Gasparo was appointed chief engraver at the U.S. Mint by President Lyndon Johnson in 1965, but had to leave under a storm of protest after the debut of his unpopular My Lai Massacre nickel. It was just hard to see that one. So many participants, little small figures everywhere. It's just a mess on the back of that.
That's probably a collector's item, though. Any of those guys.
Telling me. Family members recall that whenever people unfamiliar with his work asked where they might find some examples, he would reply, "It's in your pocket," leading to the widespread misconception that Gasparo invented the lint-covered...
You want to go ahead and...
That Gasparo invented the lint-covered condom.
That's worth going back for, that one.
I'm not gonna give up.
No, don't. Keep it coming.
It was Gasparo's last wish that his remains be flattened by a locomotive.
You want a Kleenex?
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
You need to blow your nose. Maybe that'll do it.
This has been a hard day.
Yeah. Hey, Mort, can I just ask you something?
Sure, anything, man. I'm an open book.
Yeah, I know you are, man. Now, so you're sitting there and you're going over the week's deaths, and you said maybe I'll go back in time a few years to. I mean,
yeah.
Where'd you find? How did that happen?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of people were overshadowed by that event, and I don't think it's fair.
So you thought it was important. It was just
important. Besides, I figured I could get some good jokes off of a guy who. It designed the penny.
Yeah, no, and I think you did. I think they were great. And thank you for being here. And
there's a lot of humor in death, Mark.
You're telling me. I'm hoping that. I'm banking on that. Well, thanks for that, Mort. Send Jim back in if you could.
Okay.
I am excited. If everything works out, we're going to talk to Borzu Daragahi, the Los Angeles Times Baghdad bureau chief, in the next hour about what is really going on. On the ground in Baghdad right now, there is There's a curfew. I gotta have some coffee. I couldn't remember. My brain just totally lost that word. Borzu Daragahi after this. More election stuff after this. But we're going to be talking primarily about Iraq, about what's really happening and why it should be as important as it is for the election. Stay with us.
This is Springer on the Radio.
All right, stand by, everybody. And roll music. And go. Take it away. Hello? Is he in there?
Now, filling in for Jerry Springer, Mark Maron on the Radio.
All right, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, doubting conservatives, sulking conservatives. I'm going to save this party till tomorrow. But I'll tell you something. The House, from where I'm sitting, from what I'm looking at it, looks like it's in the bag. The Senate is close. It's come to this. I'm not privy to what the Democrats have been doing in terms of making calls, aside from the fact that I've been called twice by Bill Clinton. Personally called me, Jim. Bill Clinton.
Really?
Twice, and said the exact same thing and didn't respond to me when I talked to him. But, nonetheless, asked me to vote for a local candidate here in California. But in Missouri, in Tennessee, and Virginia. These are important Senate races. If you have friends, call them up. Tell them to get out and vote. The Republicans are trying to scare their minions into getting out. All the Republicans that are on the fence, the ones that are of that strange 29% to 30% that still thinks we're doing the right job in Iraq, that still stands behind this president, the delusional, borderline, mentally challenged people that are easily led and completely impossible to break down that wall of denial that enables them to believe as much as they do in these lost causes. But look, here's a couple of pointers I want to get into before I start talking about Iraq and before I start talking about what seems to be the main issue on Americans' minds as they head into these voting booths tomorrow. But tomorrow, be sure that you take the time necessary, even if it's raining, whatever the case, tell your boss that you're doing your civic duty. It's important. And try to get out to the polls as early as possible so you have time to vote. And if there's a problem, you have time to resolve the problem, because there's going to be problems in places. I know a lot of you are in Ohio are listening to this show, and this is notoriously a problem place, obviously. But you need to take your government-issued ID when you go, even if you don't need it. You need to bring your cell phone in case there's a problem. And if there's a problem, you need to call 1-866-OUR-VOTE and talk to somebody there. Report the problem. If you want a paper ballot, if you feel like the machines are screwed up, if you get there and no one knows how to work them or what they're supposed to be doing, or if the screen is doing the wrong thing, ask for a paper ballot. Some states, like here in California, require polling places to have paper ballots available if you request them. If you don't want to use a machine, see if your polling place can provide a paper ballot. If machines aren't working, as I said, and there are other problems, ask for an emergency ballot. Do it. It'll give you peace of mind, and who knows, it might even get counted. If you need to verify your vote, folks, if you're voting on an electronic voting machine, check the review screen to make sure it reflects your vote. If the machine produces a paper record, there's 28 states that require one, read it carefully to make sure it correctly reflects your vote. If it is incorrect, speak to a polling attendant. Don't leave until you're sure your vote has been properly recorded. And also, if you could, make note, document and report if you encounter any difficulties or see others experiencing difficulties. This is like excessive lines, voter harassment, malfunctioning machines, all this stuff. Write it down. Make a phone call. Call 866-OUR-VOTE. This stuff will be dealt with within days of the election. If we can start seeing the patterns, like many people have started to see, certainly in Ohio, of how they are obstructing the vote, maybe we can get some justice around this thing. Maybe we can reevaluate how this vote. The thing I don't get, Jim, I do want to talk about Iraq for a minute, though, before I get off on this, and maybe I should save this for Brad. You know, I'm going to save talking about about more election stuff specifically for when we talk to Brad Friedman, because I wanted to bring up a couple of points about what's happening in Iraq. First of all, you have the military. There is a military editorial, a paper, the Army Times. This is an editorial scheduled to appear today in Army Times, Air Force Times, Navy Times, and Marine Corps Times. Basically, just outright calls for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld. I'm going to read a bit from it just so you hear what's going on. This is from a military paper. Quote, last week, someone looked to the New York Times. Last week, someone leaked to the New York Times a central command briefing slide showing an assessment that the civil conflict in Iraq now borders on critical and has been sliding towards chaos for most of the past year. The strategy in Iraq has been to train an Iraqi army and police force that could gradually take over for U.S. troops in providing for the security of their new government and their nation. But despite the best efforts of American trainers, the problem of molding a viciously sectarian population into anything resembling a force for national unity has become a losing proposition. This is from the Army Times, folks. For 2 years, American sergeants, captains, and majors training the Iraqis have told their bosses that Iraqi troops have no sense of national identity, are only in it for the money, don't show up for duty, and cannot sustain themselves. Meanwhile, colonels and generals have asked their bosses for more troops. Service chiefs have asked for more money. And all along, Rumsfeld has assured us that things are well in hand. Now the president says he'll stick with Rumsfeld for the balance of his term in the White House. This is a mistake. It is one thing for the majority of Americans to think Rumsfeld has failed, but when the nation's current military leaders start to break publicly with their defense secretary, then it is clear that he is losing control of the institution he ostensibly leads. Rumsfeld has lost credibility with the uniform leadership, with the troops, with Congress, and with the public at large. His strategy has failed, and his ability to lead is compromised. And although the blame for our failures in Iraq rests with the secretary, it will be the troops who bear its brunt. This is not about the midterm elections. Regardless of which party wins November 7th, the time has come, Mr. President, to face the hard, bruising truth. Donald Rumsfeld must go. That is from Army Times. That is an editorial that's going to be run in Army Times, Air Force Times, Navy Times, and Marine Corps Times. This is the military. And there's also plenty of indications in Iraq, you know, outside the fact that in the last 24 hours, five Americans were killed, and over the last month, 103 soldiers were killed, that the equipment there, the military apparently has severe equipment shortages. 42% of the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans said their equipment is below the military standard of being 90% operational. They're thinking about sending about 7,000 more reserve troops out. Already the army is overextended, obviously. The military is overextended. And also, not to mention 50, 60,000 civilians, Iraqi civilians killed, and the 20 to 30,000 American casualties, guys coming back maimed and crippled and sick. It's just horrible because there's no point to it anymore. And hopefully when we talk to Borzudar Ghahi, he will tell us the realities of what's going on there and what the hell the Americans are really doing there outside of just being used for target practice. I don't know what they're doing there. I don't even know whose side. That sectarian violence makes it very difficult to see, you know, which side is which. What, where are the bullets coming from? And now you got a president. This is the President Bush that told us that the reason we needed to go to Iraq initially was because of weapons of mass destruction. Now, obviously, that was crap. But now he's saying what you think he would never say. This is from the president just the other day in Greeley, Colorado, during one of his stump speeches. And I'm quoting the president, quote, "You can imagine a world in which these extremists and radicals got control of energy resources. And then you can manage them saying, we're going to pull a bunch of oil off the market to run your price of oil up unless you do the following. And the following would be along the lines of, well, retreat and let us continue to expand our dark vision," end quote. So now, no weapons of mass destruction, and we're years into this conflict, and you got the President of the United States saying that the insurgency, the big threat is now, look, what if they take the oil and hold it out and raise the prices in the market? So now he's pandering to America's fear of raising oil prices and also using oil as, essentially, he's saying that is the weapon of mass destruction that they have now, is the ability, if we leave, to take over the oil supply. So it is about oil. This is a president that is willing to sacrifice thousands of American lives, you know, thousands of Iraqi lives, and continue to do it. And this war is going into, it's going to cost now, according to some smart guys, Nobel Prize winners, people who did the math, more than $2 trillion. That was the original estimate. Now it's going to be much more. And now he's saying it is about oil. How does that make you feel, America? This is what we're voting on tomorrow. This is the type of heartless bastard that's running this country. And this is the type of guy that cares nothing about what the American people think. And he cares nothing but about money and about people with money. The rest of you can die as far as the President of the United States is concerned. We're going to talk to Borzudar Ghahi in a minute. He's the L.A. Times Baghdad Bureau Chief. So please stay with us for some facts about Iraq. And make sure you're preparing to vote, you're ready to vote, and you do it tomorrow. We'll be back in a second.
Jerry Springer, the voice of reason.
I love the guy.
On the radio. It's worth it. Keep trying. 877-345-3779 is 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
Twenty past the hour. I'm Mark Maron in for Springer. It's my buddy Jim Earle. And now you folks know how important it is to get out there and vote tomorrow. We could take both houses back. we're very close to taking the Senate back. It's only a few states that are going to make the difference, and I can't believe we could possibly lose Virginia with that moron, that Allen fella doing his business. But look, given that the midterm elections are tomorrow, this country is hinging heavily on attitudes about Iraq, I think it's important today to check in with someone on the ground over there and really one of the best reporters covering the war. He's the Baghdad bureau chief for the L.A. Times. He's an old friend of ours. It's great to talk to you again, Borzu Daragahi.
Good to talk to you, too, Mark.
All right, let's start with the conviction and sentencing of Saddam Hussein and what's going on the ground there. Now, I know there's been a curfew, but what has been the sentiment on both sides? Has there been any feelings of violence?
Well, there hasn't been a lot of violence just because everything's in a sort of state of suspended animation. But there's been an obvious sectarian divide between the various communities. You have the Shiites and the Kurds on the one hand, almost gleefully in support of this death penalty, overjoyed at the prospect of Saddam dangling by a string by his neck. And then you have Sunni Arabs and Iraqi nationalists, some of whom were quite supportive of Saddam Hussein and the former regime. They see Saddam as a symbol of Arab pride, and they're very upset about this. And, although this verdict may bring some kind of salve to the people who were Saddam's victims, it's not going to do much for Iraq's current political crisis.
So it's my understanding that there can be a fairly lengthy appeals process. I mean, this could still go on for another, months to years, no?
It could, in theory, go on for months or years, absolutely. And there's really nothing to prevent it from doing that except for the political pressure that the current government is under. You have a Shiite-dominated government. It hasn't been able to deliver a lot. The one thing it has been able to deliver is Saddam. It's no coincidence that, Saddam's started the trial just before the elections that made the Shiites the dominant party here. And it's probably not a coincidence that the death penalty now comes at a time when the prime minister, the Shiite prime minister, is at a weak point.
Yeah, let's talk about that weak point a minute. Let's talk about this budding political relationship between Muqtada al-Sadr and Prime Minister al-Maliki. I mean, al-Sadr is vehemently anti-American, and the Maqdi militia are his people, and they're responsible for an amazing amount of violence and killings of Iraqi Sunnis, and they are anti-American. Yet the administration here is obviously behind al-Maliki. What do you see as the outcome of this relationship, given that al-Sadr has so much power in the parliament?
Well, the outcome is really unclear in terms of what it's going to really amount to for Iraq. It's not a good thing to give a guy like this much power and influence. But really, the prime minister has no choice. He was elected by pious Shiites. He did not expand his base, as they would say. As a matter of fact, he may have lost a lot of his supporters with the over the past 5 or 6 months with the complete misadministration of the government, inability to do anything really, not really providing services, security, nothing. So he's kind of trapped. He doesn't have anyone to go to except people like Sadr.
Well, now given that al-Sadr has close ties with the Iranian religious leaders, I mean, does this put Maliki in a strained position, or is an alignment with Iran inevitable? And where does that really put Americans in this equation?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things. The Iranians are sitting pretty, smiling like a cat here, because they've got their tendrils on all these Shiite guys, I mean, they've got good ties with Muqtada, Sadr. They've got good ties with the prime minister. They've got good ties with the Dawah party. They've got a piece of the action all around, so they don't really care who comes out on top. They've, got connections to all of them. But, no, it's not really great for the U.S. and for U.S. interests. That the Iranians have so much influence here, and they have so much clout here.
Now, last week, former ambassador to Honduras and Iraq, and now U.S. National Intelligence Director John Negroponte, who I think was one of the architects of the Honduran death squad system in Central America, and he visited Iraq last week. What did you glean from that? What was that meeting about?
Well, we are definitely not privy to that one. We've gotten, in the past, though, they're coming here to sort of check out the security situation, possibly to make certain requests, to communicate about security arrangements. I think that one of the things that's been speculated about is the fact that, you know, this current curfew right now, this crackdown, may have nothing at all to do with the Saddam trial, but may be something to prevent, like, some horrific act of violence to affect the midterm elections in the U.S. And there's some scuttlebutt about that here. And, you know, it's not totally an unreasonable thing to request so that, you know, more innocent Iraqis aren't killed just because of something that's happening abroad. The fear was they would try to do something really spectacular to grab headlines abroad.
Do you think that that you don't think that the trial itself, that the verdict had anything to do with our elections, do you? Is there any evidence of that?
There is some suggestion of it. I don't know, though. I mean, just I don't know how this plays out in the U.S., but I just don't see Americans caring that much about it. You know, I mean, it does get a lot of media attention. We got a lot of requests for stories and stuff like that. I don't know that it's going to – I mean, it seems like views back there are pretty hardened, and if I was a good political consultant back there, I would be like, nah, this is not going to matter.
Oh, yeah. He's
voting based on – Yeah.
Yeah, he's pulling at straws with this. I do want to talk to you about some pretty heinous stuff, if I could. In terms of the horrendous violence and death being carried out by Shia militias against Sunnis, now, from what you've gleaned there, is there any evidence that these death squads, some working within the police force and the Iraqi army, are being sanctioned by the government or by covert American operatives?
I don't think there's any evidence of that. I think that this cycle of violence that's developed is extremely destabilizing. It's not really helping American efforts to, you know, get some kind of normalcy here. You know, whether they want to stay here for 100 years or whether they want to get out of here, the Americans, they can't want this because this is like the ultimate hell, basically, where they're kind of damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. So to get the country to some state of normalcy, one of the things that they'd have to do is to just clamp down on these extrajudicial killings. That's what the military is calling them, because they're really destabilizing the country and creating this cycle of violence that's kind of tribal in nature, kind of criminal in nature. It's really provocative. I don't see any evidence of that. I do see, however, on the part of some soldiers, a certain satisfaction when someone who's a suspected Sunni insurgent turns up dead at the hands of a Shiite militiaman. They're like, hey, my job's a little easier.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Borzu, I appreciate you being with us. Be careful. It was great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. Thanks.
Okay. That was Borzu Dargahi in Iraq. We'll talk a little bit more about Iraq on the other side of this break and give you an update on some of the polls for the elections. It's a horrible situation over there, because our guys are really stuck in the middle of this situation that is becoming more and more unclear. And I think that's something that the voters are thinking about. That's heavy on our minds as we enter the polls tomorrow. We'll be back in just a second. We've got Cardinal Milfington here, and he's gearing up. He's putting his hat on. So stay with us. It's 28 past the hour.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
Oh, hell. Hello, my name is Freedom Flan. I am the newest Freedom Flan voting machine. Haven't I done a great job this year? I will always record your vote with accuracy, erasing 81 Democrats. You no longer need to worry about paper ballots. Paper ballots, you are out of here. No Chad left behind. Ha ha ha, I made a joke. Welcome to the machine. Paper trails. Screw you. We won't need you again.
Paper trails, they're through. Just touch my screen and then I count them out for you. No need to worry. From every street and every cemetery, paper trails, adieu, till I see again. It's easy, you just lean over and touch my screen for a few minutes, and then bend over for the next 2 years. Paper trails, they're gone. Don't need them anymore. Every year from now on, hands up like Bush and Gore. If you vote Democrat, I will record it. And you of course won't care if I abort it. Paper trails, screw you. You got beat again. Now performing memory override. Memory erased. Mission accomplished. See you next year.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
All right. 35 past the hour. Mark Maron here in for Springer. Got Jim Earle with me.
Hello.
We just talked to Borzu Daragahi in Iraq. Some of the things that, you know, these guys on the ground, the thing about journalists is if they're good like he is, you can't bend them to honor my specific way of thinking. But from my understanding, folks, what's going on in terms of how the Americans are situated in that country is that the Sunni civilian population cannot trust the Iraqi military or the police to protect them because of the militia members within both. And these are death squads. I mean, they are finding sometimes up to 80 people dead in the city of Baghdad a day in different places, some of them, many of them, in bound and gagged and tortured. And who knows who these people are? The bottom line is the Shias want to kill all the Sunnis. I mean, that's the way it goes. And in terms of the Sunnis were the ruling party for so long, and that's their agenda. And what happens is that the Americans cannot guarantee the safety of these Sunnis because the Americans are targets of both Sunni insurgents, jihadists, and some Shia factions who are anti-American. So I don't know what the hell they're doing there other than, you know, getting in the way. I think if whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And the truth of the matter is, in terms of this election, as far as I can say, I say the truth of the matter a lot. I just realized that. I've said it several times. The truth of the matter is.
Change that to the fact is.
The fact is, two Army National Guard combat brigades, about 7,000 troops, have been identified to go. To be re-rotated in. Now, these are guys that have jobs, they got families, obviously a lot of them do, but these are National Guard brigades, and this is to bolster a volunteer army. Something is screwy with all this. And when you order more citizen soldiers out of the communities and put them into war zones, I mean, that's going to take a strain on the community. It's going to make people realize what's really going on over there. I mean, if this was a war that America could get behind at this point in time, do you think there'd be the reaction that the electorate is having? Not a chance. Everybody realizes that this is crap, and they realize that George Bush, in his defense of Rumsfeld, is so stubborn and has no plan other than to stick by these guys who have failed him and failed the country, that he should be. I don't want to talk about impeachment, but he should be impeached.
Yeah, he should be.
And whether or not that's going to be on the agenda of a new House, I don't even want to get into that.
He should be arrested. Isn't lying about getting into a war, isn't that criminal? I mean, there's...
It is criminal.
You think, I can't...
It is criminal.
I can't jaywalk,
It's absolutely
without
criminal.
Without getting a citation. Why can't he at least get a citation?
I wish I knew exactly what it was called, whether it was called treason or... What... Could somebody please call me and tell me at 877-34-JERRY? Could somebody please call me up and list the crimes of this president in terms of the Constitution? Would one of you do that in Ohio or Louisiana or Illinois, wherever you guys get this show, if you're streaming? Please, I just want a list of crimes, and I'll take several calls on this. We're going to come back. We're going to do Rapture Watch. And then I want to hear from you guys about why we need to get this guy out of office and get the Democrats into both houses. Let's talk about the crimes of the president, if we could. in a second. Rapture Watch, and then after that, your call. Stay with us. 39 past the hour, Marin on Springer.
Email Jerry at SpringerOnTheRadio.com.
This is Saddam Hussein. Okay, kill me with rope hanging neck from. Take life me, the one great of Iraq president. Afraid I not, for when door of trap open, play I sound loud of Springer Jerry on radio.
Call us now. 877-345-3779. 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
All right, 43 past, Marin in for Springer with Jim Earl here. Looking at the blog, getting some blogs going. Our buddy Chris Rahi out there in Indiana running for the state house out there is taking some action. I'll read some of that in a minute. Going to take some calls from you guys, 877-34-JERRY. Remember that, you know, George Bush is out there stumping for governors. You know, those are the only guys that will even hang out with him, and some of them won't even hang out with him. You got to realize that every Republican, unless they prove to you differently in how they talk to you and what they talk about, is aligned with the failure and corruption of this administration. That is it. That is it. You're going to have to judge them for what they say to you and how you feel about them, and even then that could be a long shot. But bottom line is, they are all aligned with this failed mess of chaos in Iraq. They are aligned with the Jack Abramoff scandal, certainly in Ohio. You got guys up there, Bob Ney, who was, you know, directly bought, pimped himself out, or whored himself out, is what I meant to say. But this is the reality of this particular group. And a lot of the guys that came in with Gingrich, they're on their way out. But right now, the Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. But we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Probe, Utah. Your grace.
Greetings, misguided Hebrew person. It's been quite a while since we last met, and once again you are giving power and strength to the beast. So how are things?
I'm okay, I guess.
And how is Mrs. Marin, the mother of all harlots and the abominations of Earth?
Hey, you can't talk about my wife like that.
I was talking about your mom.
Oh, okay, no problem then. Please continue with today's Rapture Watch.
Thank you. Come hither, all you soiled doves of Moab, for it is time to wash your depraved hangdowns in the citrus-based cleanser of God's wrath. Apply Christ on directly to your sins, ye perverted beasts of Tanakh. For thee are nothing more than gas in the pants of an angry god. While your heart has become the guano-soaked lust cave of Bruce Wayne, it is wrinkled manservant Alfred. Yes. The flood rages onward toward the apocalypse, and you're stuck in a canoe with Michael Brown. You may recall it how thrice abdominals ago, look it up, I told you how, according to a new study, levels of testosterone in American males have drastically declined. Weeks after that, I told you how a man in Pennsylvania was leaving a grocery store when he was brutally bitten by a savage squirrel. Weeks after that, I said if you're worried about declining testosterone levels, you probably shouldn't pack your front pockets full of walnuts and stroll past a petting zoo.
Yeah.
Little tip, throwing you a bone, people. But that's neither cantata montita nor mana frittata.
Yeah.
Because according to my calculations, the end times are near, and the world is rapidly approaching midnight, sinners, except for certain parts of Indiana that don't observe daylight savings.
Right.
For we have just entered the last of the last days, another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a wondrous land of imagination.
My name is Taki Gina, and I'm going to kill you.
Ugh, Satan! Your powers for conjuring up the uniquely psychological writing style of Rod Serling are strong today. But I cast thee out with my specially formulated barbecue-flavored anointing sauce. Now hickory smoked. Smoked. Look for it in the deli section. It's bone-sucking good. Now listen closely, fornicators, abominators, Philistines, and people who collect arts and crafts furniture. As I've crunched the numbers, and according to the latest Reuters Zogby poll, Beelzebub has a 666 percentage point average over God-fearing, stem-cell-loving, masturbation-hating Christians. That's right. Come Election Day this Friday.
Tuesday.
Whatever. Come Election Day, I predict the Democrats will win, triggering the rapture. Jerry, the resultant loss of so many Christians being sucked up to heaven will cause the nation to collapse into economic chaos. Hummel factories will close, and millions of unbaptized children will be forced to aimlessly roam about the world with no one left to sodomize them. Yes, for it was prophesied in Revelation, 8 is enough, and I quote it. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and they did cast their votes for Nancy Pelosi. And upon her forehead the mark of the beast was written, 666, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And on her back there was a sign that read, Kick Me, I Farted, taped there by Karl Rove. End quoted. Well, there you have it, Mark. In plain dementia-derived hysterical English. Let's cut to the chase. Give Ted Haggard some slack, will ya? Maybe Jesus asked him to put his mouth on a male prostitute's penis for 3 months. I mean, we don't know all the facts yet. Besides, we've all been there, right? Wow, where did that come from?
I don't know.
That's not important now, for soon you'll all be in the bowels of Hades, counting chads. Well, I'll be sitting at the throne of Christ in his prize hedgehog, Snippy. Until then, keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell!
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Father. That was tremendous. 877-34-JERRY. We're taking your calls in a second. Stay with us.
Less of you means more of Jerry. So call now, please. 877-345-3779 is 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
All right, folks, it's Marin in for Springer with Earl over there sitting there without the internet access.
I don't need internet for my...
I've got the cord. I've got the only working cord in Dr. Laura's studio. I've got the only working cord. When she's not here, there's two. And when she is here, there's two working cords. I don't know what that means.
That says many double meetings there.
Folks, we're talking about a lot of different things, but primarily we're trying to get people to realize how important it is to get out tomorrow. On the phone with us, we've got our old Morning Sedition candidate, Chris Rahe. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Chris?
It's actually Chris Ray.
Chris Ray. I'm so mad at myself because I remember the last time you were on, we talked to you, and I got the name wrong, but now I will remember it forever. You're running for Indiana State Legislature. You're out there.
I kind of wouldn't talk about myself because they've got equal time laws.
Okay.
But I did want to talk about getting out the vote and how important that is. Because you know they're trying to steal it. I just went out. I just got back a little bit ago. I went out to breakfast 6 times. Went to 6 different little diners, coffee shops. Talk to people, and this is rural Indiana, and people are on our side on the issues. You let them talk. Every issue they bring up sounds like a Democratic issue.
What are the most important? Is your radio turned up? You might want to turn it down. What are the most important issues to these people that you're dealing with? I mean, because what the newspapers are saying is it's all about Iraq, but it's not, is it?
When I talked to people today, just this morning, they brought up schools and how messed up this No Child Left Behind is. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're equal opportunity. They don't like some of the liberal approaches to schools either, but they sense the problem with our nation's schools. People have brought up economics. I talked to, you know, some little diners. They're talking about how small businesses are struggling. They can't compete with the big guys. It's all bread and butter issues. That's what's on their minds. No one's talking about abortion or gay marriage.
So, yeah, exactly. So it sounds to me like people are, whether or not they're Republican or Democrat, they realize finally that this administration and those legislatures aligned with this administration have disappointed them.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily trust Democrats. That's why I think it's so important for us to get out and talk to them like real people. Don't evangelize or proselytize to them. Just listen to them mainly, but then agree, you know, because we can't agree with them. You don't have to lie. you can agree with them and let them know that you understand and you're on their side and that you know candidates that will side with them.
So the real fear, Chris, Ray, out there in Indiana is that these people won't vote.
I think a lot of people won't vote, or they'll just go and vote for Republicans anyway, even though they're mad at them, but it's just out of habit, and they don't trust Democrats either. And I think we need to win their trust. They already have a reason to vote against Republicans. Now we have to give them a reason to vote for Democrats.
Well, it would seem to me that that reason would be simple. It would just be to say, look, we're going to try to undo the legislation that these guys have put in place to compromise your ability to live a healthy life.
And you and I know that, but they don't trust us.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of propaganda reasons, et cetera, brainwashing. All the dirty tricks of Republicans, and that's, I think, what we really need to overcome. They're with us on the issues. They just don't trust us. They don't believe us.
So your experience is that these moral issues aren't holding any real pull on them at all. They just think it's not anyone's business but the individuals, I imagine.
Call me and talk about some of these gay rights issues because I've refused to fill out a survey from one of the anti-abortion, anti-gay groups, and I didn't really lie about my positions. But I just kept deflecting it back to all the other moral issues that we could agree on as far as how we treat the poor and how we treat our children.
And the war.
And, you know, they say they're pro-life. I said, well, I respect the sanctity of human life more than anyone. I don't necessarily agree with you on abortion, but how many other issues is the sanctity of human life pretty much, you know, not debatable when you kill innocent people in wars and when you're letting people starve to death in their own country or not have health care?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Chris Ray, good luck tomorrow, and thanks for calling. It's great to hear somebody who's out there on the ground talking to people. All right, well, we're going to come back. In next hour, we're going to talk to Brad Friedman from Brad Blog about election fraud. He's going to scare us. I'll give you some more pointers on what to do tomorrow if you do run into trouble. And we'll basically keep it going. If you want to call, 877-34-JERRY is the number, and talk about some issues that are on your mind. We'll be back in a second. I'm Mark Maron in for Jerry.
For Jerry Springer, Mark Maron on the radio.
All right. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Of course, you lurking conservatives. I am looking at the polling data. I am Mark Maron, by the way, and I am here with my friend Jim Earle. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine, man.
Jim doesn't have the internet over there, so he's lost. He's like tetherless. He's floating.
I'm looking at old news from like 10 years ago.
Really? How are you doing that? On your computer? How
I
you
found
doing
the
that?
Titanic.
Folks, I am looking at polls, and it looks good. I'm frightened, but it looks good. I'm frightened because I don't trust the voting systems in most states in this country. I don't trust the Republicans to let this slip away from them. I don't know what they're going to do. I got some ideas. They're going to make it difficult for some people to vote for in many different ways. Some people are going to show up and they're going to be like, you're not on the list here. If you don't have an ID, you can't vote. We've only got one machine for this part of town, which has 100,000, 200,000 people in it. A lot of this stuff is going to happen, and we've got to just forge on. The electronic issue is the most frightening issue, but we're going to talk to Brad Friedman in a few minutes from bradblog.com. But, you know, there are other things you can do. First of all, get out there and vote as early as possible, and make sure that you give yourself enough time to deal with any sort of wait or problem with a machine, or a lot of the issue comes around these poll workers. Some of them are older, some of them are not used to these machines. Some of it's designed that way. Sometimes they put people on these machines that don't know what they're doing. What I want to know, Jim, is that I can take my ATM card anywhere in this world, stick it into a slot in a machine that doesn't even speak the language that I speak, and be given money that isn't even the money that looks like the money that I have in my bank account, but it will tally up the right amount of money to give me in that other currency, secure that transaction, provide me with a receipt, and then show proof of it on my bank statement. You're going to tell me that they can do that anywhere on this planet, in the billions and millions of ATM machines that they have out there, but they can't secure a damn vote, that we can't ask for the same type of efficiency from our voting system that we do from the damn banking system? It really shows you where the priorities are on this planet, that we can't expect the same sort of consistency, that it shouldn't be that easy. Not only to have a paper trail, but to have a receipt for my damn money and to have a receipt for my vote. So if there are discrepancies, at least we could follow two different paths. I don't understand. I don't understand why it's not in the interest of every politician in this country. Actually, I do understand. They want to be able to control elections because they really don't care about the people, do they?
I'm not going to be that cynical, Mark. I think that politicians are here to help us. And that's why tomorrow I'm going to lay down my life for my representative.
What are you going to throw yourself in front of his car? What do you got planned there, Jim?
I'm going to set myself on fire at my polling place.
Just for your representative.
Just for my representative.
I hope you people know where your polling place is. I did a little research. I kind of freaked out the other day, and I'm like, do I know where I'm going?
That's another thing. It's so haphazard. You don't know. You register by mail or on the internet, and you don't know if you're going to get any reaction or reply back. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. Then you go to this place, hoping they have your name,
right?
And and if they don't, they send you somewhere else. That happened to me in New York. They said, well, you're not properly registered or something.
Well, it's a little easier in California, I believe, than it is in New York, because I registered many years ago, and once they had my address on record, they've actually updated where I voted, because I thought I was going to have to go back to my old address and vote at that polling place. But no, it's right down the street. Right down the street. And they sent me a book discussing the propositions, discussing the issues at hand, pros and cons. And then if you want, if you're really out of the loop and you don't want to just pull the lever, Democrat, which I encourage, go ahead and do that. But you can usually go to your state's Democratic Party, the website there, and they will give you the recommendations of the Democratic Party and why they recommend those people.
SierraClub.com, too. I'm taking my recommendations off of there.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you voting for any green candidates?
No, well, I don't know if there are that many in California, really, that you can vote for.
Well, look, here's what's going on. Missouri, Tennessee, Virginia. Those are the big ones. Those are the ones that this is the Senate. The House, there's a lot of races, and it's looking good for the House. I mean, it looks like that if we lost the House, then we should all leave the country because something really weird happened. But in terms of the Senate, we still got Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent down there in Missouri. It's a tight race. It looks from several different polls that McCaskill is leading, and that's a very important race. As is Virginia with Harold Ford, which is, let's see where that's at right now. Or that's not Virginia. Virginia is Jim Webb and George Allen, and Jim Webb is pulling ahead in one poll, but not in another poll. I can't believe it's that close with George Allen being the racist creep that he is. Harold Ford and Bob Corker in Tennessee is still pretty tight, but these are the two races. These are the ones. I think we're going to take Missouri. The Democrats are. Tennessee and Virginia. I don't understand what's happening in Virginia. That is completely suspect to me. But we need Missouri and Virginia to make this happen in the Senate. And if we got both houses, I don't see why there's any reason. I don't want to scare anybody. But, boy, they can take these bastards to task. They can take them all to task on torture, on war crimes, on election mismanagement, on treason. They can take them all. I don't know if they will right away. I would hope that somebody will. But you can believe me, man, that even if it's just in the House, the investigations are going to start. And that is what needs to happen for this country to realize what the hell they've really been through in the last 4 years. I'll tell you that. That's what I think, Jim.
Well, Mark, this is the way I feel about it. I think that we've already suffered enough, and there's no reason to put this country through the pain of another impeachment.
Come on. Listen to this. Both sides are freaking out a little bit. This is pretty fascinating. That on Saturday and Sunday, this last weekend, 7,000 lawyers who are working on the election for the Democratic National Committee got on planes for Arizona, Florida, Maryland, Missouri, Ohio, and about 13 other states. 7,000 lawyers have been retained and dispatched by the Democratic National Committee.
Some more Law and Order episodes. Rip from the headlines.
But that's pretty fascinating that this is news and that this has become what elections in this country is about. 7,000 lawyers have been dispatched across the country to make sure that when problems occur, yeah, that there's at least some legal representation, some legal person there to at least address the problem as quickly as possible.
I thought the Bush administration was against tying up our legal system with trivial lawsuits.
Well, the Department of Justice as well is dispatching lawyers, not as many obviously because they're not on our team, but that apparently the Department of Justice will dispatch about 800 lawyers to troubled polling locations in 65 cities in 20 states. And also the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, the NAACP, and the People for the American Way Foundation will jointly have 2,000 lawyers fanning out across 20 states. So all in all, that looks like, you know, upwards of about 10,000 lawyers are going to be, I hope they all voted absentee or however they were going to vote, are going to be spanning the country to try to guarantee some safety in this election. What are we, a third world nation? What the hell is this?
Yes, we are.
I guess we are.
48th in literacy, and we are a third world nation.
I just think they should consolidate this thing across the board, make it like a bank machine or make it something with a paper trail, make it all the same technology, and run it fair and square and let everybody vote as soon as you get your driver's license.
You know, in Holland, they do it by red pencil.
Just what do you mean?
Red pencil. They mark the ballots with a red pencil, and they count them by hand. I know it's impossible to count all these all our elections by hand, but there must be some mechanical way you can do it. That's a lot better than
you mean, like a voting machine, Jim?
What is this love you speak of? I am not from this country.
Is that what you're talking about? Did you see Borat? Did you see it by any chance?
No, I haven't seen Borat. No, I will.
I hear that it's hilarious. That's what I have heard. I have not talked to anybody. I've talked to, like, that's not true, two people who have seen it, and they thought it was hilarious. But I guess I'd like to see it because it is a satire, Jim.
Yes.
It's a satire of how
Well, I
how
hope he
ridiculous.
Does not insult our troops.
I don't know that he insulted
the troops. That's the last
the
thing
troops.
We need is somebody to come out and insult our troops again.
So here's a number you should write down, folks, for tomorrow. 1-866-OUR-VOTE. If you have any problems, they should have a volunteer or lawyers or somebody. They'll take care of you. You got some place to call. 1-866-OUR-VOTE. If you want to call me here at Jerry Springer, 877-34-JERRY is the number. But there are going to be people on hand to deal with this. I don't know how many people, but clearly about 10,000 lawyers.
I'm taking my digital camera.
That's also recommended. You are allowed to tape stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to take pictures inside that booth. I'm going to take my clothes off inside the booth and take pictures of me inside that booth nude.
Well, good for you. I guess that's a protest of some kind. I don't know. Brad Friedman's going to be here from Brad Blog to tell us what to look out for, and also hopefully he'll have some hope. I've always been under the assumption that if enough people showed up, if there was a landslide, which it looks like there are going to be in some races for the Democrats, that it wouldn't matter what kind of malfeasance they were up to. But it turns out that with some of these machines, you could ditch thousands, hundreds of thousands of votes, though that might look suspect if somebody were paying attention, and apparently there's about 10,000 lawyers that will be. In a minute, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com will be with us. Stay here.
This is Springer on the radio.
This is Saddam Hussein. Okay, kill me with rope hanging neck from. Take life me, the one great of Iraq president. Afraid I not, for when door of trap open, play I sound loud of Springer Jerry on radio.
How's anybody gonna hear? If you don't say it, 877-345-3779, 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
All right, 21 past the hour. We're talking about voting. It's sexy, folks. Get out there and vote. Make it happen. It's exciting. It's fun. I wish I could get more kids involved in this. I wish people would realize that they should do this, that everybody should do this. Folks, Brad Friedman is a true activist, investigator, and journalist. He's out there in the world, both on his blog, bradblog.com, and in person, fighting for election reform, seeking out fraud. He has been closely monitoring the state of the election process across the country. I thought it might be helpful to have him on the show today, because the day before the election, is to give us an update on the state of the vote and the machines and what we can look for tomorrow. He's on the phone with us now to talk about the substance of that declaration. What does that mean? What am I writing here? Welcome back to the show.
Mark, how are you?
What's up, Brad Friedman?
Why do you think it is that more kids don't vote?
I think they just don't care, Brad.
They don't care?
I think that they're like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't. I don't know. Who's running? Where do I have to go? What
they're
time?
Not going to get drafted, and they're not going to get sent away to Iraq, so they don't care.
Well, yeah, that we've definitely talked about that on the show before. That is true. It's just not important to them. I would bet that most of them don't even know where to go vote. And am I being condescending when I say that, though, Brad? Am I underestimating the youth of this country?
Well, no, you're actually not underestimating anybody. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't know where to vote because you've got a lot of bad guys out there right now, GOP, running around doing dirty tricks all over the country, trying to mislead people where to go vote.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the places that I know this show goes out to. What do you know about Ohio right now?
Well, Ohio is a mess. It's always a mess. The worst thing I think that's going to be happening there this year is this photo ID stuff that they've been, this phony law that they brought in to basically keep people from voting. That is their only way to win the election, is to keep people from voting. And that's what they're doing in Ohio. Ken Blackwell with this voter ID law that's gone back and forth. The courts have thrown it out. Then they've reinstated it. It's so confusing. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to bring to the polls. And the absentee ballots, they're throwing out the absentee ballots because they require a driver's license number on them. But it turns out there's two different numbers on the Ohio driver's licenses. And some people are putting on the wrong number, and they're just throwing out the ballots.
So that is so insidious and so wrong that they just keep complicating. It's almost as if, like, okay, so now I've got the directions, and I'm going to do exactly what they told me to do, and then they do it, and the next day they're like, oh, we just changed it.
Yep. And that's what they do. Anything to keep people from voting. It is so antithetical to American values. It is so anti-democratic. It is so, anti-democracy. Pardon me.
Yeah. So what have you been doing exactly, like, for the last 2 days? What has been your primary momentum moving towards tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm trying to keep up with everything that's coming in because there's so much coming in, so many reports of dirty tricks and machines failing and everything else. So I'm trying to keep up with it, and then we're going to go on the air tomorrow night and be the media ourselves for like 10 hours and cover this. What I suspect will be a meltdown, a palooza around the country. There's just going to be so many problems with these machines. People turned away and not allowed to vote simply because these stupid machines don't work. And speaking of Ohio, the reason we have these machines all over the country now is because of that jerk Bob Ney, who wrote the Help America Vote Act, ironically enough named, and he's now in jail. Or he's heading to jail in any case. He just, pleaded guilty to a bunch of federal charges. So he'll be a felon. In Ohio, he won't be able to vote. But we're stuck with his stupid voting machines that were pushed through Congress by him. These voting machines that don't work are hackable, pushed through Congress by him and his former chief of staff, who is Diebold's main lobbyist in Congress. The whole thing is a scam, Mark, but you probably knew that by now.
I do know that by now, and it all feels so hopeless because I'm reading stuff now that's coming in from my random email list from people like Mark Crispin Miller that are saying that there's no reason for us to even be excited, even given the amount of margin that it looks like we're going to win the House by. That tomorrow we may be surprised that we will not win the House at all because these guys have cheated.
Well, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, and I know Mark has his ideas, and all I can say is I hope he's wrong. There is no way to know. You have to vote, period, because if you don't vote, They don't have to steal your vote. The machines don't have to fail, you know. If you don't vote, if you don't show up, and if you don't pay attention to how your vote is being counted, then you got nothing. And finally, when you see the votes flip this year, if they do, as they have in Ohio, I mean, Ohio 05, I heard you talking before the break that it's got to be a blowout so they can't flip it. Well, in Ohio 05, they had some initiatives on the ballot for election reform of all things, one of which was leading 60-30 in the polls the Sunday before the Tuesday election. That initiative ended up losing 30-60 on election day, and no one did a damn thing about it out there. I mean, we really need to take a lesson from the Ukraine, from Mexico, you know, from these people who realize that democracy matters, and show up and fight for your damn vote and make sure your vote is counted this time around, because they will game it every which way they can, and especially in Ohio, which is a snake pit.
Well, you know, it's like what I don't understand is how are we going to protect the vote? What can do you have a list of things that people are able or can do if they suspect that something bad is going on at their voting place?
Yeah.
Or that you do? Will you stay on the phone and tell us what those things are in a minute?
You got it.
All right, we're talking to Brad Friedman. You can go to his blog right now if you want, bradblog.com, because he's definitely got his fingers on the pulse of what is happening. He also broke a story about these Sequoia machines that we'll talk about a little bit after this. And later in the show, there's not much show left, but we've got Jeff DiCarlo. Some of you people who listen to the Mark Maron Show might remember Jeff as the rebel tax accountant, BioWave analyst, and now actually a poll watcher. He's going to be doing a little bit of work in terms of taking it to the streets, or taking it at least to his, outside the front door of his apartment. He might not get out of the apartment if you remember Jeff, but we will be talking to Brad Friedman a little more in just a second about what you can look for, what you can do, how to protect your vote. So stay with us. I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Jerry Springer on the radio.
Our number is 877-34-JERRY. Call now.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no... All right. I'm going to make the world. I'm going to make the world now. I'm going to take 6 days, five days, 6 days. So 6 days, 7 on the 7th day, I'll bitch. And then take off. I need another hit.
If God had a bong, what would it look like? And would God keep it full of holy water? And when God made the world, what if he made it after just one doobie?
Let there be farts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if God smoked cannabis?
This is
great. Did he not during Genesis? Maybe that's why the world's a mess, because God's mind was blown.
Oh my God.
If God smoked a joint, would he get munchies? And just what would he eat if heaven didn't have a vending machine with stuff like ho-hos, chips, and fiddle-faddles?
I'll make them all different colors, so they'll fight all the time.
What if God smoked cannabis?
Would there be New Jersey?
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
seventh day, I crash.
10 billion years his mind's been blown. At least he gets to grow his own.
To everything, talk, talk, talk. There is a season, talk, talk, talk. Adam, this is Eve. Eve, this is... Oh, oh, hey, Adam, what you got there? Oh.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
All right, 36 past the hour. Brad Friedman, are you still with us, Brad?
I'm here, brother.
All right, buddy. Bradblog.com is Brad's blog, and it is the most up-to-date, most comprehensive voter fraud blog on the planet. Now, I guess, like, we work together.
I got to correct you. Not voter fraud. The voters are doing fine. Leave them alone. It's election fraud we got to worry about.
Election fraud. Thank you for clearing me up on that. I appreciate it. Now, we worked together the other night, Brad and I did a comedy show, and Brad got up there and did his show. Got a couple laughs, but made everybody think, because it's hard to find hope in this thing. But, you know, I have heard your tone. You're not negative, and you believe that everybody should go out and vote, because there are people out there that actually say, what the hell's the point? Well, the point is, you got to go fight for your vote. And tell me some things that people can look out for, to do. Can people – I was talking to Jim. It is okay to photograph, isn't it, in the voting booth?
Yeah, take your video camera with you. You know, we had all those reports back in 2004 of all those touchscreen votes were flipping. You know, you go and vote for the Democrat and the Republican would light up.
Right.
Bring your damn video camera in there when you vote. And, you know, so let's get it documented. Now we've got YouTube. Now we can show the world that this happened rather than have another election that goes on. We have no idea what happened. And, you know, you got people running around saying, hey, my vote flipped. And you got these Republican jerks saying, oh, no, it didn't. They're conspiracy theorists. Well, let's show them the video this time, because we've already had reports of this happening in Florida, in Texas, in Missouri, in Arkansas. So, you know, let's show them what the heck is going on this time.
You've already got reports of that? You mean some places are already allowing people to vote?
Oh, yeah, they have early voting in a whole bunch of states now for, you know, weeks before the election.
And that's with the machines, not just write-in. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, with the machines. And so far, every single report I've gotten has shown, has been someone trying to vote Democrat flipping to Republican. And it happens on ESNS machines, Diebold machines, Sequoia machines. So, I mean, all of these machines, and I know it's just a coincidence that they all flip to Republican, but all of these machines seem to be failing. They don't work. I mean, that's the scam.
Brad, what I was talking to Jim about before, and it's something that I don't understand, is that if I can use my ATM card anywhere on this planet and it can give me any kind of money and still tabulate it properly once I get back to the States, why the hell can't they just do a consolidated format for the entire country that works, that gives a paper trail, that gives a receipt, that gives it just seems to all the technologies in place to do this. What do we got to do, and what is the right thing to do?
Well, there's no oversight for this thing. None. None at the federal level. It's completely cooked at the federal level. You got a Bush appointee crony running the store. So there's no federal standards whatsoever. And frankly, you know, Diebold, who makes ATM machines, that's how they make their big money, is by making ATM machines. You know, those are made for Bank of America. And if they don't work, if they give away a $20 bill and they're not supposed to, Diebold's going to lose that contract. But for these voting machines, there's no oversight whatsoever. They're not even allowed to look. No officials, federal, state, anything else, are allowed to look at these machines, to test them, to see how they actually work. And somehow they got away with this. They've privatized our votes, so it's all counted with secret software, and the Congress let them do it. So that's why they can make any machines they want, the machines that don't work.
God, we're going to have to create these weird sort of, you know, nonpartisan clone protectors of the vote.
Well, there should be.
Yeah, but how the hell do you know who they, you know, they're going to have to be of some sort of weird religious sect that doesn't have any belief in politics or any. I don't even know how you would find these people or how you would even hire them.
Well, for a start, look, you know, in Nevada, in Las Vegas, the Nevada Gaming Commission can walk in there, can tear apart any machine they want, check it out down to the chip level, and make sure it's on the up and up. There is no way to do that with these voting machines because the companies have gotten dispensation to keep everyone away. It's completely secret, and the government let them get away with it.
All right, well, we're going to have to turn things around. Brad, I appreciate you being with us. Bradblog.com. Tell me quickly, where are you going to be broadcasting tomorrow?
If you go to velvetrevolution.us, you can get all the skinny. We're on a bunch of Air affiliates, and also over there we're giving a $500,000 reward for election fraud. You can call 1-888-VOTE-TIP if you've got a if you see some fraud in action, and we'll.
And this is velvetrevolution dot what?
Dot us.
Okay, thanks, man. You
hey,
take care. Try and stay clear.
I'm gonna try. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, thanks, man.
Bye.
That was Brad from bradblog.com. Brad Friedman will be back with Jeff DiCarlo, who's going to be actually doing some poll watching tomorrow. Stay with us.
Type the talk. Email Jerry at SpringerOnTheRadio.com. Talk to Jerry Springer on the radio.
Hey, Jerry!
On your telephone.
Oh.
Call 877-345-3779. That's 877-34-JERRY.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Five past the hour. Mark Maron here with my friend Jim Earle filling in for Springer. Is he on the phone? We got is as many of you know from the Mark Maron show, Jeff DiCarlo is a renegade tax accountant. He's a biowave analyst, and he works from home as a revolutionary. He's at the cutting edge of his bed, folks. He's with us now for an update as we head into the midterm elections tomorrow. Welcome back to the show, Jeff.
Oh, hey, thanks, Mark. Hold on, I'm sorry. Libby, stop it. My cat is really freaking out. I just got one of those laser pointers, and she's freaking out.
Dude, yeah, so you're doing the big business. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Well, Mark, I've been trying to monitor the elections from this my post here on my bed.
Yeah.
I have a friend. I don't have internet, but I have a friend who has the internet and the web, and I talk to him sometimes, and he helps me monitor the goings on. And I actually, right across the street from me is a polling center, so I've been keeping an eye out on that to
make sure. That's good.
Know.
So heading into tomorrow, you're already checking it out. Have you seen
tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's the vote. The election's tomorrow.
Oh. Well, I mean, I think it's probably good to keep an eye.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Starting
yeah,
now.
I mean, because this is when weird stuff starts to happen. Have you seen anything suspicious going on, or is anything happening from where you're sitting?
Well, yeah, there's. I don't know what it is, but there's every morning at this polling center.
Yeah.
These people pull up.
Yeah.
And they just dump their kids. You know, and these kids go in there, and
yeah.
I don't know what's going on inside.
Yeah.
But. They just leave them there, like these are their parents, and they just, I mean, it's probably some sort of, you know, sort of like nobody's going to suspect a kid of tampering with a voting machine.
This goes on for like every day, right? Like
every day, it starts at about 8 in the morning and about 3 in the afternoon. Boom.
Yeah,
parents are back.
And they come back. So
mm-hmm.
You think that the kids are in there probably messing with the machines probably.
Oh, sure. You know, the kids these days, younger and younger, they know about the computers. And so,
sure. Do you have any idea what the building is when it's not a polling center?
I don't know. No, I don't. I mean, but this has been going on for quite a while.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to call one of the numbers I have for voter problems, and I'll alert them to it. So now, do you have
– Well, wait a minute. If you do that, that $500,000 reward that guy mentioned
– yeah.
This is.
No,
I don't mean to be. You know, this is my tip. So.
All right. So 888 vote tip. That's the number. All right. So
okay.
You yeah,
do
think,
they need? Do they need? Like, will they give stuff just for a lead, or do you have to get convicted? You have to convict them.
I don't know, man. You're gonna have to call Jeff and check it out on your own and tell him what you know. I would tell him what you know. You
okay.
know. So now, yeah. What about you? Are you? Do you know who's running in your district? What is your district? What do you got going? Are you going out? What's going on?
Well, I actually don't. I'm registered up in Humboldt, and so I'm glad that your listeners can hear me, because I actually need a ride up to, because I'm glad that the vote is tomorrow. I was going to have to go up today, but I have to get up there tomorrow in time to vote. And there's some big issues up there, but I would like to just put that out there that if people helped me out, I could I can't pay or anything, but I could I'd appreciate. I know some people who run the Shibuya Gardens. It's a hot tub place up there, and I could stoke them a hot tub.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll put that out there. Well, that's good that you're registered, though, and that you're going to make the effort to get up to Humboldt by tomorrow, and keep an eye on that polling place.
Me, making the effort is 90% of the battle. I think that's how I really put my conscience to the test.
Sometimes just making the effort, just thinking about doing it, is enough, right?
The revolution starts from within. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I couldn't have said it better myself. I think absolutely.
That's one way to look at it. Now, is there anything else we can do for you? You need something to eat, cigarettes or anything?
It's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, this vigil, until I can get a ride, this it's a stakeout, essentially, that I'm doing on this polling place. It's going to take a while, so I would appreciate any, American Spirits, the yellow box. Some people came by with some of the other American Spirits, and I appreciate it, but I don't smoke the blues or the gold pack.
Too strong.
Too strong. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to watch. I'm trying to get in shape.
Sure.
And food is great, but I only like organic food. And
all right. Well, we'll try and get someone to do that.
I'm on Atkins right now, which is, it's hard when you are all organic and you don't have money. So if anybody has any organic, meat.
All right. Well, so we'll try and get you that. Now, let me just ask you before we sign off here. Have you ever seen any buses drop off kids across the street, or like buses?
I have, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I have. And, what I figure is that there's probably some center, some huge center. I think that these kids are probably kept in confinement somewhere else, and they're bussed in. That's the other thing. They're bussed in.
Yeah. We're going to look into it. I got to go, Jeff, but we're going to have to make sure you call and get that $100,000 and tell them that you see bus.
Stop it.
All right. All right. We'll talk to you later, Jeff. Thanks a lot. That's okay. Thanks for it. All right. Take care.
Bye.
That's Jeff DiCarlo. We'll be back to close things up, give you a few last minute numbers and tips for tomorrow. Stay with us.
Jerry Springer, the voice of reason.
That is something I've said repeatedly from this podium, and it seems not to sink in. Why?
On the radio. Get right through. Email jerry@springeronTheRadio.com.
Springer on Air America Radio.
We're going to land this thing. It's Mark Maron here on Springer on the Radio with Jim Earle. The day before Election Day, the countdown begins. I feel excited but frightened, as the same I felt starting this show, even though I've talked to people that should make me feel somewhat encouraged, though not really. It looks, all the polls are leading towards the fact on paper right now is that if polling is correct, there's no way we can lose the House unless something horrendous happens in the next 24 hours,
unless,
which is possible.
Karl Rove's secret polls are correct.
Yeah, the math. Unless the math is correct. It looks like the Senate is really hinging on three races, Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia. Missouri starting to look like it's leaning in our direction. But, again, these are only polls, and it's going to rely on people getting out there. And I'll tell you one thing I realized talking to Brad Friedman is that if they steal this thing in the way they have in the past, by obstruction and through electronics, they're just going to say, hey, the one thing that the pollsters don't realize and the Democrats don't realize is how our get-out-the-vote that we just have all these drones that we can just push a button and they'll just put their arms up and go, must vote Republican. They think that they can just pull that crap this time, but I don't think so. Not with 10,000 lawyers on the ground, with a heightened awareness of voter fraud or electoral fraud. And I'll tell you, tomorrow is going to be a very important election in terms of really determining the future of how we vote in this country. So get out there and do that. And if you have problems at the poll, polling place, 866-OUR-VOTE is the number to call. If you have a tip about voting fraud, 888-VOTE-TIP could win you some money if you really got something. And velvetrevolution.us for the information in terms of live streaming broadcasts all tomorrow night with, I think, the Young Turks are involved, Mike Malloy's involved. Brad Friedman's involved. They're going to do it, you know, outside of the traditional airwaves as well to keep people informed with what's happening. Please, go out and vote, folks. Jim, great show. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Stephanie, and out there in Ohio for taking care of us and producing the show. Great. Go vote, folks. That's all I can say, and have a good day.
This is Springer. On the radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your free brochure.